Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome into the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast, Week 5. We're talking ranks. It's the Welsh, that's me, Brandon Funston, Jake Seeley, all of the stuff and things. Very happy to have you guys here, where we will not be talking about burgers today, Mr. Jake Seeley. We're going to avoid all burger talk moving forward with this. Quite the controversy you were stirring up, and I felt like you knew what you were doing in the latest article over at The Athletic, where people can check ranks, but also get really upset about burgers,
specifically In-N-Out, and then the fact that it's overrated and people lose their damn mind like it's the best thing created in the history of football. Like the fact that I could call Barry Sanders overrated or something like that. I mean, God, it's an average burger. Get over it.
It really is. I am completely 100% backing Jake on that. I had the same experience where people played it up, and the first time I ever had it, I was like, I don't know, man. It's just kind of like your normal bun, your normal tomato, lettuce, and burger.
The reasonable people out there said, you know what? It's because the pricing is so good. Okay, that doesn't make the burger taste better. Like, yeah. It's okay. Valid point. It's half the actually probably one third the price of Five Guys. Valid point. I get your point. That doesn't make it better. And it doesn't make those fries taste any better either.
The ultimate burger. Sorry, just really quick. The ultimate burger is Five Guys at a In-N-Out price. That's the ultimate burger.
There you go. Yeah.
Here's my only experience with In-N-Out. And it was many, many moons ago. I worked in the recording music industry. And in a studio, I start up a conversation with Slash, and we talked for about 10 minutes.
Humble brag.
Yeah, no big deal. But I'm going to humble myself real quick. We talked for about 10 minutes, had a great talk, and then I took his order and I went and got him In-N-Out Burger. And that was about it. I took it. But this is at a recording studio, and I got to be the gopher, and he ordered the two, whatever it is, the lettuce burgers. And I was just like, I don't know if lettuce burgers really do anything for me at the end of the day. But that's about
the double double animal style, which is just special sauce, which is on. It's just, it's a Thousand Island dressing. Get over it.
Well, that's so now you know what Slash eats. He eats.
By the way, my only time with In-N-Out Burger, Scott Bogman. I was out visiting you guys.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Yeah, when we all had our yogurt date, we all had our frozen yogurt. That was very fun. Or what did we have? It was
it was gelato.
Gelato, that's what it was. Yeah, I know.
We spoon-fed each other gelato, Brandon. It was terrific.
It was a great time. It was a great time.
Really, really sorry I missed that.
Yeah, next time. You know what? When you come back out here, I'll spoon-feed you some gelato when you get out here. I promise it'll be an Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast party. We'll have a lot of fun. Let's get into the ranks this week. There's a lot of stuff. There's actually a lot of chaos as far as practices and DNPs go, but I got a few little headline notes here, and one of those is not in question. It's pretty much answered. DeAndre Swift likely out again is a report against New England. Brandon, let's start with you. DeAndre Swift missing time. It's pretty straightforward as far as you don't have him in your lineup. Jamal Williams goes in. It's probably, I don't know, not the best defensive matchup here, so I'm bummed because I got a few Swift shares. But I'm more interested in how high we went with Jamal Williams last week. Where are you willing to go this week with him without Swift against that New England defense?
Yeah, maybe not all the way into my RB1. And I'm behind on my ranks this week because I kind of threw my hands up in the air yesterday with all the Wednesday DMPs that were happening.
Did you wave them around like you just didn't care?
Yeah, I did wave them around like I just didn't care and put a couple middle fingers up as well. Like we're playing Jamal Williams. We've seen now a week without DeAndre Swift what that means. It's a whole lot of Jamal Williams, and it's a fair amount of Craig Reynolds. Although Craig Reynolds didn't get the ball a whole lot, he's like a deep league flex flyer because maybe they'll give him a little bit more. His snap count was head and shoulders above Justin Jackson and anybody else. So he is the second back there, but it's a lot of Jamal Williams with that kind of workload. It's hard to get him out of the upper level RB2 range at that point.
So the only thing that stands out, there's a lot that stands out. The consensus rank around the industry has been 10. Jake, I looked at yours and you have him inside the top 10. The only thing was, like, if you watched the game last week, he got off to a pretty slow start. New England is giving up the fourth least fantasy points to running back so far this year. I think you're putting a lot on the shoulders of Detroit's offense being able to be positive and successful again. Not that, you know, New England's offense has been relatively putrid and they're going to go three and out and you're going to get Detroit back on, which might be one of the best cases here. But I guess I'm not 100% seeing the top 10 inside of Jamal Williams based on the matchups, but you feel very comfortable about it because you, I think you're beating the consensus experts as far as his rank this week, Jake.
Yeah, because I want volume and opportunity, and there's few running backs that are in this conversation. I mean, we're now, if you're talking about the pure volume opportunity here, we're talking what? Saquon Barkley, not even Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb keeps ceding half of his touches to Kareem Hunt. He's just been remarkably efficient with them. And yeah, you're not wrong in saying the fact that, like, the Patriots matchup is potentially worrsome, but again, you're talking about one of the highest, if not, I was trying to pull it up to see if he is the highest of the opportunities goal to go and inside the goal line. It wouldn't shock me if he's at least, I know he's got to be top five. They're just going to turn to Jamal Williams every single time. And yeah, maybe it blows up in our face and turns into, look, here's the worst case scenario. What, 18 for 50? Okay, we'd be pissed off because he's top. That's not even close to being top 10. But like, just, I don't see how this goes even that bad just because of how much they use him. Like, yeah, you said, it started off poorly, and no matter what, they still turn. They're going to turn to him, whether they're up by 40, down by 40, or a net neutral game.
Well, here's the thing: this is only a problem for the person who drafted Jamal Williams as an RB4 and didn't draft DeAndre Swift.
Somebody,
and they nailed the first three running backs that they took, and they're all potential top 15 running back plays this
week.
Real
quick, sorry to cut you off, Brandon. So, goal to go rushes inside the 10. Williams and Mixon both have 11. Goal line rushes inside the 5. Williams and Joe Mixon both have 9. By the way, buy low on Joe Mixon, buy low on Joe Mixon, buy low on Joe Mixon. Anyway, that being said, they are both 2 ahead at goal line rushes and then 4 ahead in goal to go rushes of everybody else in the league. Those are the only two tied to go to the top, and they blow away everybody else.
And back to my point, this is really just a very first world problem. It's for somebody who's got everything going perfectly for them right now.
Somebody who can afford 5 guys or Mooyah and then, like, yeah, don't have exactly to go to In-N-Out.
I like it. It's like a Scrooge McDuck thing. They're just standing there just with all of the success. What do I do? By the way,
I don't care if I spend $60 on 2 people's burgers and 5 guys.
Scoring the tied for the 13th most points in half PPR for running back so far this year is Jamal Williams, just behind Saquon and Chubb. So even you talk about all of the the closeness to both of those, when Jake, when you were talking workhorse, that's literally, he's the third highest scoring with Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now. So tough matchup. He's just kind of one of those two sides.
One more point
meeting.
Real quick.
Yeah.
That offensive line, Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift are both inside the top 10 in yards before contact. Just to throw that out there too.
Another piece here on the running back side, now the Kamara debate, we'll just call it the Kamara that happened last week. I'm going to use some air quotes here. He's planning to play for week 5 is what we're being told. I'm tenuous. Even if he's playing with how they've used him, as I was working on my running back ranks this week, I found myself continuously moving him down and down and down. And like, he would be a catalyst for, I'd be like, I like this guy. Okay, he's got to go ahead. And I kept kind of moving him down. Jake, I could check the link and I could look, but I'm curious at your take and your thoughts on Kamara this week with the planning to play and his overall work usage so far this year.
Yeah, I'm a high-end RB2. He's in the conversation with Miles Sanders, Josh Jacobs, Damian Pierce, which I think, and you talk about Alvin Kamara versus those, you would say Alvin Kamara in previous years, every single time, not even close, but where they're high-end RB2s and not in the conversation of a Henry or a Joe Mixon or anything like that, is they have, as Funston always used to loves this term, they have warts. There's something with all of them. Alvin Kamara, we don't know what the usage would be. It's at a great spot, and that's part of the reason he's a high-end RB2, is because that kind of offsets it. You know, you look at the others, Damian Pierce. Yeah, it's great, but what if things go sideways? And I guess against the Jaguars. What if it's all of a sudden, Rex Burkhead mixed in? What if he fumbles another time? Miles Sanders, do we really continue to trust that he's a bell cow? It's kind of looking like it, but I'm saying, and I'm not going to go through this entire list. I'm just saying he's in the conversation with everybody that has a small concern to their game, and that's why he's not an RB1 anymore. But I would still have him in this because he's still Kamara and it's still an amazing matchup. And I'd actually probably like him a little bit more if it's Dalton and not Winston.
On the matchup side, too, and looking at this, I mean, his two games he's played this year in division against bad teams, he has really, really struggled. And then he has the one that we missed. The positive side is it is against the Jaguars. Jaguars are averaging the second most receptions given up to wide receivers so far this year. And then Kamara has had 11 targets through two games. He just hasn't got going. Brandon, I found myself when we were going through this, I found myself wanting Pierce and wanting Clyde Edwards-Helaire over him this week. And again, this isn't quite the first world problem, but it's kind of in that same area here. There actually might legit be somebody that has a decision to make between a Kamara and a Jamal Williams this week. That yes. could be something that's out there. But like I keep pushing myself down, even though the matchup is good, but I think it's good on the receiving side. But you talk to me about Kamara, Brandon. Where are you at? Are you any different?
Not really. I'm taking Jamal Williams over Kamara because of, you know, there is the, oh, what if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't play, it takes care of itself. But if he does play, but he's limited. But then I think to myself, if I knew going in, I was going to get 8 carries and 4 catches from Alvin Kamara, it's still top 30 for me. Like it's still playable. Yeah. It's still playable. So the matchup is just that potentially good. And I agree with Jake. If it's Andy Dalton, you feel better about his ability to get the ball out into the flat to Alvin Kamara, something that Jameis Winston's been very uneven at in his career. So, yeah, I'm playing him. I'm taking Jamal Williams for the certainty of the volume, but even low volume for Kamara is still very playable.
We'll definitely see on Kamara. And by the way, if he were to like be planning to play and then is a surprise and active again, let's just watch the world burn. I mean, it won't be in London this time, but let's just watch the world burn. I don't want to give a lot of time on this because people might be listening to this after, but as far as the Thursday game goes, Philip Lindsay promoted from the practice squad, which pretty much tells us everything for you early listeners about what we need to know with Jonathan Taylor this week. And the Naheem, where do you sit? Just a real, real quick one, Jake, Naheem Hines this week, now that we kind of know Taylor isn't out there. I know we talked a little bit about this on Monday and you don't feel great about the volume of a runner, but Naheem Hines?
No, fringe RB2, high end RB3, only because of the risk of Lindsay and only because of the risk of Lindsay being the goal line option. I jokingly even tweeted about it, depending on when you're listening to this morning. And I even said, watch Naheem Hines do Naheem Hines things. And then Philip Lindsay goes 7-for-13 with 2 rushing touchdowns.
I'm ready for it. I'm already ready for that. It's going to be something ridiculous that's going to happen. Brandon, I think like 2 of the 3 weeks we've done this, you've had Naheem Hines in some type of a role. Now you actually get him in a little bit more of a workhorse. I know it's been a lot of hands up on the ranks. Just like, where does he sit in any last minute decisions people are thinking about for you? Is it higher than like a fringe RB2?
Yeah, I think, well, not higher than a fringe RB2. I would not put him in the RB2 equation, but he is a, you know, he falls into that Kareem Hunt, Tony Pollard, A.J. Dillon, where you kind of get those guys, Devin Singletary, kind of those guys in the 25 to 30, early 30 range. That's where I would put him. Because there is a potential that Philip Lindsay gets a couple carries, looks good, and they're like, you know, it's a straight platoon, and maybe Naheem Hines gets, you know, all the passing down work, but suddenly it's not as lucrative as you hoped it would be. So, but the nice thing is, again, like you've drafted Naheem Hines as an RB4, RB5, and you've been trying to flex him, and now you don't have to worry about that flex issue. You know, he should be very flexible this week at worst.
Should be very flexible.
The yoga of running backs. Yeah,
he's limber.
It would be actually interesting to see how many running backs that were post, you know, like RB4 post, have already gotten first run, you know, got like Jeffrey Wilson Jr. You're getting Naheem Hines, Jamal Williams, like just how many of those guys, it's been a real big payoff. Unfortunately, the zero RB crew is having a little bit of a party if they were taking advantage of those, because there's been a lot of that.
Yeah. You know what I'd like to see the numbers on is the percentage of fantasy managers that have the handcuff to the player. So like, what's the percentage of Jonathan Taylor managers that have Naheem Hines versus the guys that have Cook and Madison, you know, like what's the most popular handcuffing?
I bet it's very low. So dead. I mean, you know, we've all been doing this long enough that you can remember the years of having to preach handcuffs and how important, and it's just so dead because of the obvious reasons with, right. You know, with multi-back systems and everything like that. Yeah, exactly. It's just, it's so funny.
I would say the highest one would, just off the top of my head, would have to be Jalen Warren
and Najee.
You think Najee's already dinged up. Just because he hasn't missed any time. But
I think coming out of draft season, it's Cook and Madison. People that draft Cook go an extra.
Oh yeah, out of draft season. But I would say by now, I think Madison got snatched up by a lot of teams. Seeing kind of going back to like that D'Angelo Williams days, where it's like, well, I'm just going to take him instead of you, just in case your guy goes down. And that's the sidebar on this is that why I always say when you go in, that don't always worry about your own handcuff. Is sometimes the better move is to get somebody else's, because if you get your own handcuff, your net neutral is always your best case scenario is only one. You still only have one running back. If the other person's guy goes down and you have the handcuff to them, you could get two. Of course, you could lose your guy, but I'm playing for first place. I'm not trying to make sure I'm safe. I'm trying to snipe everybody else's and potentially be sitting pretty.
Madison, it's a great call, by the way, because Madison, I'm trying to think, is he the only true handcuff that's out there? I think there's these side ones of
Pollard.
Because, well,
when you have viability as the backup, then you're not really a handcuff. You're basically saying, who's a guy that just doesn't play most of the time, and I want him on my bench?
Because there's four different versions.
It was Herbert before this.
Ooh, Herbert
this is why I love Herbert.
Herbert, I love Herbert. There's four versions of this I think of. There's the true handcuff, like the Madison. There's the rookie upside to take over type of guy, like the Pachecos. There's the, and maybe the Jalen Warrens you would throw into that.
No, he's not taking over. He would only, yeah.
Yeah, and then you're just talking about more work.
We don't know that.
Tyler Algier. What we thought of Tyler Algier.
Yeah. Well, the thing is with Warren is we're speculating too. We're only going with this is because Tomlin loves a bell cow running back. I mean, Warren can stink. Warren could be Benny Snell.
Warren looks pretty good when you get him out
there. He does, but go back to July and nobody knew who the hell Jalen Warren was.
Yeah, that's very, very true. It's just interesting.
Who was the jabroni that had like the 1 week pop? Mateo Durant. Everybody's going bonkers for Mateo Durant that 1 week in the preseason.
Those are my favorite. I love preseason running backs that go off. Like when Thomas Clayton for the 49ers led the preseason in rushing and everyone's like, look out, here we go. And then they go off and sell shoes at Foot Locker or something. Like that's my favorite thing about the NFL is those guys that go off. But the handcuff situation is really interesting. Because it would dominate fantasy books and conversation, and it's such an afterthought now.
There's another one.
Okay. Samaje was probably in there. Yeah, Madison to me is the quintessential old. He's the fullback of the situation where barely anybody runs a fullback anymore. Madison is about. He's the Kyle Juszczyk of fullbacks as far as workhorses go. If anybody can follow that little twist I just put into everybody.
Sure.
Last thing before we get into the actual ranks, tons of DNPs early this week. And that's why. Brandon, you kind of put your hands up early in the week with the ranks and stuff because it was just guy after guy. I think there's also just some other major question marks of players didn't play. So, Brandon, why don't we start with you? As far as the DMP goes, there's just even on, going over like Roto World today, when it was looking, it was, obviously you had Swift, you've had the Kamara stuff, you've had Penny, Treylon Burks, Marquise Brown, da-da-da-da-da. Any specific that worries you? We're in the time of the year where, yes, of course, bye weeks are coming up and rest is going to be needed. I know they gave that to Monroe St. Brown. But as far as all these guys that did not practice so far, is there any that actually is going to carry some worry coming off of Kamara Gate?
Well, I tried to quickly look for somebody on my team that, hit me personally. But I think the one that I think is interesting is like Kyle Pitts had a DMP and he's been so bad and he's going against Tampa and like, tight end is so bad that you have to play him if he's playing. But I just think you're just so stuck if you have Kyle Pitts. And it's one of those ones where you're like, you're probably thinking twice every day about why you drafted him, but I just think it's adding injury to insult right now that he was, he's got an injury he's dealing with this week.
I didn't score in the fourth most points off of Tampa Bay so far. So just putting that out there. Jake, same thing. As far as the did not practices, is there anybody that you're going to be just really, really eyeing up until game time that might have a little bit of worry?
I don't think that we have anything to that level right now. Maybe Rashad Penny, but that sounds like it just might be a maintenance type of situation on Wednesday. So, of course, we're doing this Thursday morning and we'll get the Seattle reports later on Thursday. But if Rashad Penny missed on Thursday again, now, yeah, that would be the one that I have the most concern about. And maybe we see some more Ken Walker. Not that I'm overly excited because it's still, the passing game is the better version of this offense.
Is nobody worried about Amon-Ra St. Brown after last week? Are we just, is everybody good? Jake, are you good? I feel like I'm a little bit more concerned about Amon-Ra St. Brown. I know they gave him, like, it was a planned day off on Wednesday coming off and not playing last week. But is there any worry going into week five for you?
I'd say not yet. I put him inside my top 12.
So. Yeah, I saw the aggressive rank on him. And obviously when he's healthy, he's deservative of that. It's just... He's not, and it's, you know, that's a Patriot. So I guess maybe I'm a little bit more concerned.
So, well, that's why I said maybe Thursday, because they have the bye. That could be the Andre Swift situation. So that's why. But if he's out there practicing on Thursday, that's why I'm not worried, because I think his is going to be very cut and dry. I don't think they screw around if they're concerned because of the bye. If he's out there practicing because of that, why screw around? I'll be like, he's going to be fine. They wouldn't risk it if he's like 80%, 70%.
Yeah, and Josh Reynolds plays all right. TJ Hawkinson, I think he's had some banged up stuff. He was really good last week, but just something to keep an eye on. Keep an eye on a lot of these and make sure you're not dilly-dallying as far as your ranks go. Be ready like an hour or two before to make a lot of the switches. And there's another London game this week, so don't get Kamara'd for sure. Let's talk about some ranks. Now, I'm going to do a little bit different this week, and this might be something I do at the beginning of the month, where I'm going to step back a little bit. I'm not going to throw in all of my nonsense here. And let's have a reset. Let's have a reset to the two experts, why everybody's here, for Brandon and Jake. And I'm going to double down on the questions that we do, except for the first one, as far as taking actually a little step into Jake's article, where, you know, Jake does a really great job. If I assume everybody listening to this checks it out. But just as a reminder, it's not just like, here you go. Here's some ranks. Have fun. No, it's written up in multi-fashioned of like buys and sells. And hey, here's guys that I think I'm good with. Here's some dart throws. Da, da, da. And it goes all the way through. And then down there's this big list. So I figured, why not? Let's do a little bit of that with you guys. And we will get your normal kind of sleeper performer and the dart throw. So we'll throw some dart throws in here, except for quarterbacks, because why would we do that? We're not going to do that with tight ends and quarterbacks because we're not silly. We're not silly gooses here. But Jake, a quarterback that you like more than anyone else this week that is not the obvious top dudes, who's your guy?
One that at this point, I don't know what we're waiting for him to be an obvious top dude. I get the perception around him, and I talk about perception and fantasy, and that it's one of the biggest factors in driving trades and people not acting quick enough, but how is Jared Goff not a top 10 tight end at this point? We sat here, myself included, I was like, woo, you know, he's looked great, but he doesn't have Amon-Ra St. Brown. He doesn't have DJ Chark. And you know what Jared Goff did last week? He said, screw you guys. I don't give a damn. I'm going to do it with everybody else. And TJ Hawkinson a billion times. Of course, the Patriots are not the Seahawks, but at the same time, they're still not even the Patriots of past year. So we're going to really say that, like, their run defense has been good. Pass defense, I'm not that concerned about that. Jared Goff at this point, over Aaron Rodgers, over Matthew Stafford by a mile, over Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr, who have been flipping around with these like 16 points, 11 points, maybe you get to 20. Just I'll live and die with Jared Goff at this point, and I might die this week.
Funny enough, Jared Goff, the fifth highest scoring quarterback in fantasy right now. And if someone asked you a trivia question, who is the better fantasy quarterback as far as the first quarter of the season goes, Kyler Murray or Jared Goff? If you didn't answer Goff, you're incorrect. And that is just how it goes. So, I mean, as I'm looking here, only 8 quarterbacks scoring 20 or more points. And Jared Goff is probably the biggest eye opener. He's literally in the camp of Mahomes and Herbert and Murray. He is out there. So that's a pretty good one. What do you got, Brandon? Same question. And
Goff would have been my call too. I was just on a podcast with our colleague, Michael Biller, yesterday. And we were talking about him. I was saying the same thing. Like, if you have Matt Stafford, you're making that switch in a heartbeat right now. Derek Carr, all those back end guys that you were drafting, Aaron Rodgers. Like, I would rather have Jared Goff. You look back at his last 9 games, including the 4 this year and the last 5 last year. He's 22 touchdown passes to 5 interceptions. That's a prorated rate of 41 touchdown passes for a season, and that's over half a season. So it's a pretty good indicator that he's kind of settled in and he's got great weapons. So I like that a lot. The one thing I'd say is Ryan Tannehill was the most available quarterback. If you're streaming like Washington, you just can't emphasize enough how bad they've been as a pass defense. And you look at Jalen Hurts, threw for 330 and 3 touchdowns. Jared Goff had 4 touchdowns against them. Just everybody who's played them has come through looking pretty rosy. So with Derrick Henry going now, you know, Ryan Tannehill's value was always kind of predicated on that play action. Derrick Henry's had 2 weeks in a row where he's looked good. You know that the Commanders are going to be kind of focused in on that, and I could see him. That's why I'm going to talk about another Tennessee Titan a little bit later that I like. But I just think the setup's pretty nice for Ryan Tannehill to maybe have his best day of the year so far.
Interesting consensus rank as far as those guys go. You don't have either one inside the top 12 as far as the quote industry is concerned. Goff 14, Ryan Tannehill 18. And interesting on Goff, he has thrown less than 35 passes only once so far this year, and it was 34. He's only been under 250 passing yards only once this year, and he has thrown two or more touchdowns 3 out of 4 weeks this year. So also, for any of you that like to dabble a little bit in the player prop market, might want to take a look at that two touchdown passing touchdown marker for him, because actually Geno Smith is another one that I just randomly throw out that I liked last week. Those are just guys that you can sometimes get. Yeah. You can just get those guys at like good price. Maybe Goff is going to change now, but good, not juiced prices if you care about
Brandon,
like that.
Side question for you. Is Russell Wilson the worst quarterback between he and Geno?
I don't think so. And I think, look, it was like after week two that everybody was saying Geno and this offense have gone 6 straight quarters without a touchdown. And that was San Francisco and that was Denver. And then all of a sudden Atlanta and Detroit came around. I give Geno all the credit in the world. He hasn't turned the ball over. He hasn't looked terrible, but there have been some lulls. I think this is a great litmus test for him this week, because I think New Orleans, after last week in London and not looking good, they're a better defense than that. They're going to go home, and this is kind of a get-right game for them, and this is maybe the Seahawks kind of a little bit full of themselves and a lot of compliments being served to them this week about how this offense has looked under Geno. So if he goes to New Orleans and shows out as a top 15 quarterback, that's going to change my perception of him right now as basically a good quarterback for streaming, but not a quarterback that you're just thinking about playing all weeks. And I think this would kind of change my perception of that.
If Geno had a better matchup, Jake, do you think you could have got him just one notch above Russell Wilson? Because you have Russ at one spot currently as we record this above him. And I just like just for the kids here, Jake, we need to get Geno above Russell Wilson so we can play that.
I love that Geno has one more pass attempt than Russell right now. You know, he was going to Denver so he could cook, and here we got Geno, with throwing the ball more through the first month of the season.
And better.
A lot more completions probably, too. Just throw that out there. All right, so we got through quarterbacks here. Running backs that you like more than others, so that's your big start. And then a dart throw running back of the week in honor of Jake Seeley. And you know what, Jake, let's start with you here, since that is something that you like to put in the article. It's the start and dart. Give me your running back you like more and your dart throw.
Yeah, so Damien Harris for the start. Everybody's concerned about this backfield split. Well, guess what? RB15, Damien Harris, to this point. And because of the touchdowns, just like last year. And actually, he's not even on the touchdown pace from last year. And he's still RB15. Sure, some injuries and disappointments. But hey, guess what? The Lions, this matchup we've talked about a million times already. What did Rashad Penny just do last week? Yes, both Damien Harris and Ramondre Stevenson can live cohabitation together and happiness, just like a lot of backfields that we have out there that we did. Look, this is kind of the new world, and half the league does it, so I'm okay with that. If I'm going with the Hail Mary start, Tyler Allgeier, I know Caleb Huntley got all of it. Not Allgeier didn't get a single one. He didn't get all the goal line opportunity, but so living in cohabitation again, Allgeier and Cordell Patterson were doing it. Why can't Allgeier and Caleb Huntley do it? And I know, but it's Buccaneers. What did the Buccaneers just let Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Isaiah Pacheco just do? So, yes, the Buccaneers do worry me, but this is why it's a Hail Mary, is that Allgeier can potentially get through the line, and he's kind of a one-cut runner, and if he can get to the second level, although, again, I'm concerned that so he's going to have to score probably from like 15 yards out if he scores.
I really like the Allgeier one, and people should go check out the article because there's some good names that Allgeier is above, and I think people would enjoy seeing that. So I like that one a lot for the dart throw. Brandon, same thing. Your start and then your dart.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same game. I'll go Breece Hall. It's a tough matchup against Miami. They've been good against running backs so far, but Breece Hall, we've talked about the movement that we've, first 2 weeks, Michael Carter played more than him than last, the week three. Breece Hall moved up to 2 snaps more than Carter, and then last week it was 15 snaps more. And I just think we're at a point now where that's where we're settled into is, he had the 19 touches last week, and I think the expectation going forward is that we're going to get, 17 to to 20 plus touches from him most weeks. He's 10th among running backs in catches. He has 15 catches. So that's not completely the Michael Carter show there. So I think we just got to start thinking about him as you know, Michael Salfino dubs it kind of the bell calf. You know, there's not a whole lot of bell cows anymore, but I think he's the clear lead. And with his, you know, with his talent and ability, I think you got to think of him as a top 20 running back going forward. So I like him. I'm a few spots better than the industry on him. And I think Raheem Mostert, with just a massive discrepancy over Chase Edmonds last week going against the Jets, I'm willing to, you know, I'm willing to flex him out, maybe think about him as the very back end RB3, kind of in that 35 to 38 range at running back. Yeah, it could swing again the other way, but is this going to be a game where Miami's throwing a ton and be more conducive to Chase Edmonds? I don't really see it that way. I think this could be a game where it's fairly close and there's a decent amount of volume on both sides for the backfields.
For like the rules of fantasy, by the way, in like our world, you know how things work. As soon as you give up on somebody, you cut them, they then are amazing. As soon as you bench a player who struggled, they're really good. Those are just the rules. We can't control that. That's just the fantasy gods. This is what I think will happen. I feel like we've like for weeks and weeks kind of been doing this. Raheem Mostert, hey, it's almost time. Now we're just kind of getting like, going to bench him, not get excited, and then he's going to go off. He's going to go. But I worry in the same respect when he goes off, we're then going to be like, and let's go. And then he's the ultimate just fantasy repercussion. I worry.
Yep. This is why I don't do it. That's why I sing it on my show. Don't go chasing Dolphins running back. I'm not going
to stick to the Falcons that you're used to.
Well, yeah. The answer is there's just not some great flyers this week. I mean,
oh yeah, of course. And you're supposed to say flyer. I'm not saying you're wrong in anything you just said, but this is kind of goes to, I'm going to compare it to tight ends and what we always talk about. How tight can you make your tight? Like chasing production. I hate chasing production, and I'm not saying that's what we're doing here, but if you're with Funston and it's like, that's fine. I mean, I have Mostert, I think in like the low 30s, but just stick with Mostert. Don't try and wait for the good game, then play the next. It's Jared Cook back when he was a tight end. You always played the week after he had the good game and then you got the zero.
Yeah. Fun fact, you have Mostert above Algier. Just want to throw that out here for this.
Well,
thing.
I mean,
for
now, I'm not stupid. That dumb.
Well, just pointed out and all the funness. That was his dart. All right. So it's the same thing. And Brandon, we're going to start with you this time. Wide receivers we like more than anyone else. That's your start. And then your dart when you're going deeper. So start and dart it for us, Brandon.
Well, Chris Olave, I think consensus is 18. I have him at 13. I was toying with the idea of putting him as a wide receiver one, because why not? He's averaging 10 targets per week over the last 3 weeks.
On this.
11 targets per week. He's averaging almost 100 yards per game in that span. He had a touchdown last week. And, oh, by the way, it's the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, Michael Thomas – maybe not playing again. Jarvis Landry's banged up. Like, it's just Chris Olave right now. And, you know, like, I think sometimes everybody recognizes a good talent, but they have a hard time sometimes moving them past well-established guys in that upper range. And you're like, yeah, I think I would rather play, you know, I'm just throwing somebody out. I probably have Olave higher than CeeDee Lamb. It's probably really close. But, like, yeah, if I was pressed to it, I think I'd rather have Olave right now. So,
you know, the only thing I want to add to that, I mean, to cut you off, interesting. We haven't really been doing it and not doing it this week, but the whole like Brandon versus Jake thing, I think that one might be kind of a Brandon versus Jake thing. Not to say, again, we don't put it out like, oh, Jake doesn't like it or anything like that. But when you say you kind of want to get him into like 12 and like a wide receiver one, Jake, you have him like just at the back end of wide receiver.
By the way, it's a bad example because I have CeeDee Lamb 10. But how about like Mike Williams or Michael Pittman or Cortland Sutton? Like, I'm playing a lot over those guys.
Mike Williams with no Keenan Allen? Well, so the difference is there is I have Michael Thomas in. I think Chris Olave would push towards that fringe wide receiver one if I knew Michael Thomas was out. But I tried because this is the void. Everybody's like, where would he rank if he plays? So now I just do. This is everybody's playing. I don't care if you're Elijah Mitchell's playing this week. So like, just put everybody out there and then I come back as they get taken out.
But I'm just also saying Olave's had really big weeks with Michael Thomas in the lineup. So so I'm not completely scared of that. If he's...
How do you do, fellow youth?
I love it. All right. And so I cut you off a little bit on that, but then you're dark.
Robert Woods is the guy that I would play this week. He has been, you know, not great, but I just love the setup this week. He did score a touchdown last week. He had decent yards the week before. There's been, you know, the volume and targets been up and down. I just feel like play action, man. This is going to be in play. There's going to be a couple big play opportunities against this defense this week. So I would be willing to – I have Robert Woods, like, wide receiver 35, 34 right there. It's a few spots ahead of consensus.
And Treylon Burks being, you know, a lot of DNP and stuff like that, that works in favor. Jake, start and dart it.
Start and dart a wide receiver. So start Terry McLaurin. Said this in multiple places, including the article. The fact is Terry McLaurin was second to Jahan Dotson in end zone targets at 2-4 for Dotson, and nobody else even had two. Terry McLaurin was the only one that had two. And speaking of the only one, Dotson was the only one who had end zone touchdown reception. Four. Nobody else had a single one. Everybody else, zero. Carson Wentz, I made the comparison to Alan Lazard for Aaron Rodgers. I think he's going to have to look for Terry McLaurin, which he hasn't had to do so far. He's kind of been able to spread it around. So I look for Terry McLaurin to be his quote-unquote get-right game, as people love to say. Hail Mary, first game back, Michael Gallup, number two for the Cowboys. I know Noah Brown got a little bit banged up, but if you're talking about who's, if everybody, even Noah Brown's healthy, who's the number two? It's Michael Gallup, and I'm looking at this. Cardinals is like the only ones that didn't even have a touchdown, and Marquise Brown in that game went for, what was it, like 100-something yards in this matchup. So I think that Michael Gallup can do the similar, but maybe get the touchdown because the Dallas defense should be able to get after. And the thing is the Rams secondary is not the fearsome secondary we used to know.
And I love that because Cooper Rush hates Dalton Schultz. Like, wants to punch him in the face. He'll never throw him the ball. He hates him, so it's a good Gallup play as well. So, because he'll never throw the ball to Dalton Schultz. So all those targets get to go to Gallup. So it's a fantastic call. Who's got you thinking twice? Who has got you thinking twice, Mr. Jake Seeley, right now? Whether it's positive or negative performances, usually these kind of center around question marks of negativity. But who's got you thinking twice in fantasy right now?
So Allen Robinson, DJ Moore, all the wide receivers that we were drafting, Darnell Mooney, throw them all in there. Anybody who you drafted in that fourth, fifth, sixth round, you're like, whoo, ha ha, look at my draft. I won. I mean, there are people out there starting with a running back or wide receiver, and then your 2, 3, 4 wide receivers are Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, and DJ Moore, or reverse order, DJ Moore being in the, like, sitting there and being like, I came out of this draft. You people are stupid. Look at what you let me do. Guess what? They're all benchable. They're all droppable. I mean, the last one I want to drop, like, I would drop, Mooney's long been dropped. I would drop Allen Robinson at this point for even an Alec Pierce. But now, DJ Moore is on the fringe. Baker Mayfield is that bad. I was one of the people, like, the entire industry who said, it can't get worse than Sam Darnold. The entire industry was wrong because it got way worse than Sam Darnold. So I am scared and I am not starting. Here's the biggest thing is like, because even if they do, Darnold Mooney last week, what was it, 90 yards? You really have confidence after one game to put him back in your lineup? And that's why I say they're droppable, because you need 2 or 3 games in a row before they get your trust back.
And just a side note, they've also got the 49ers coming up. So good luck with that.
That's the biggest thing too. Yeah.
Yeah. Brandon, what do you got? Who's got you thinking twice?
Yeah, I was originally just going to say everybody because there were so many DMPs on Wednesday and coming off the Alvin Kamara, you know, debacle last week. But just to kind of narrow the focus, a guy that's really seriously got me thinking of twice because I have him in a lot of places and I think he fits as well as Gabe Davis. Just two really bad games in a row. Like, this is a really nice matchup this week against the Steelers. They've been generous. Like, Minka Fitzpatrick's hurt. Like, he could literally have a 3-touchdown hat trick like we've seen him do before, or he could, you know, or he just not completely healthy, although he was a full participant on Wednesday. So that's got me a little bit excited, but I had a really hard time figuring out where to rank him this week because I could see him being top 20. I could see him, and we've seen him the last couple weeks be outside the top 40, and I just don't know where we're at with him yet, but I'm hoping that we're in a better place than we've been the last couple weeks.
For our last one, I really think I'm going to get some good, like, limbo music for the future. So how tight can you make that in? You know, just like we're going to go
hello,
like that.
Can you go?
Yeah, something like that. Jake, how tight can you make that end this week?
Oh, my God, I'm ready to get burned by it, but I'm watching the snap count. I'm watching the opportunity share, and I'm watching it go up week by week, and it's not just the 2 touchdowns. But if I'm going super low, Mo Alley-Cox, it's been going up all 4 weeks. The inverse of Antonio Gibson, down, down, down. Although Antonio Gibson's still a lot of use in the passing game. Sidebar on that. But anyway, Mo Alley Cox, and yeah, I'm ready to get burned by it. But it's tight end, so who the hell cares?
Who cares? I asked my cohort, Scott Bogman, on when we were doing this rank thing. I said, serious question, Dalton Schultz or Mo Alley Cox? And he went Mo Alley Cox this week. And I was like, all right, let's go. Ready to all get burned, baby. That's Jake shaking his head. Brandon, same thing. How low can you make that end?
Cameron Brait. It's like 14 targets the last couple weeks. It's Atlanta Falcons, who have been extremely generous to the tight end position. So, like, I you know, Cameron Brait only had 22 snaps last week, but I think he had, I forget, it was 8 or 6 targets. So, like, he's out there. He's running routes. You know, that's his basically his role. And I like the matchup. So I would throw him out there. I will say, as I was just thinking about it, in leagues where Taysom Hill is tight end eligible, like, or even Juwan Johnson, like, the Seahawks are terrible against the tight end. I think they give it the most fantasy points to the tight end position. Like, those wouldn't be bad flyers either if you're just really playing the tight end stream every week. I would be willing to go after Taysom Hill, especially if Jameis Winston is out again. I think they build in a few more Taysom Hill packages when that happens.
I'm very glad you brought that up because I actually agree with that. It's a wild number. 5.5 receptions, over 100 yards, just about a full touchdown, and over 8 targets go to tight ends. Juwan Johnson is super sneaky if I were really desperate or playing like some tight end premium. And this is just one of those weeks that, you know, I think you can justify Taysom Hill, even though he doesn't get big volume. He's a guy that if you've got any weirdness with Kamara in the red zone, you might get Taysom Hill in there again. He's just kind of sneaky. There's a lot in there. And then throwing into your other one real quick, Atlanta giving up the 3rd most fantasy points to tight end. So these are some pretty good picks here on both sides if you're going up against bad defenses, though they're not the best tight ends. And friends, that is going to do it. You guys can go over to The Athletic. Make sure you subscribe so you can get access to Jake's big old week 5 setup for you with ranks and all of the stuff. He's going to be updating that throughout. You can leave comments. Jake has a priority in going through and answering as best as he can until his head is going to pop. So make sure you go and check all the week ranks out. And guess what? We'll be back next week. We're going to be breaking everything with week 5. Good luck in all your fantasy matchups. For Jake Seeley and Brandon Funston, I am Chris Welsh, and we'll see you next time right here on the Athletic Fantasy Football Podcast.